Right now, let's not rain on his parade. Let's bring in Mike Kazi. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
And how are you this beautiful, rainy, cold morning?
Wonderful.
We had I left my house this morning. It was 47 degrees and raining.
I'm almost 70 here.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Right now at the station, it's up to 51 degrees. It was 48 when I got in here about an hour ago. But anyways.
It's not cold here.
Well, hopefully it won't be cold here either once everything gets going. We both lost last night.
No, we didn't.
What did we say?
You lost. I won.
That's right. You took Pittsburgh.
That's right.
What was the final score of that game? I didn't watch it.
30-27.
Oh, it was that close. Okay. 30-27.
Yeah, Pittsburgh was winning 30-13, and Tampa Bay scored a couple touchdowns, and they had a kick return called back, which I don't think it's. I watched bits and pieces of the game. A guy was called for holding. The offensive man was holding him, and he was holding him back, and he got called for the penalty, or else you might have had a little different outcome in the game. But once again, the WWE has the predetermined winner. They make up calls. Pittsburgh wins the game.
Now, the NFL has said that they're going to stand by their rule with this quarterback thing, that when you sack the quarterback, you cannot land on the quarterback. It is the most...
How is that possible?
This is what... I was listening to a discussion between an offensive player and a defensive player yesterday, talking about this rule, and the offensive player says, well, you just got to approach the quarterback at a different angle. And the defensive player says, you're running at full speed. You've got the quarterback in your sights. You have no idea whether he's going to duck down, go to the right, or to the left. So you try to aim and get him center, and you try not to hit him. So now you got to go in low and get him in the midsection. When you hit a quarterback in the midsection, you can't hit a quarterback in the midsection on either side. He'll get away. It's just the most stupid rule in the world.
Well, you know, the statement made by the NFL player just shows me that they spend too much time in basket weaving and not enough time in math class. Anytime you hit a player from whatever side you're coming in from, you're making impact at a 90-degree angle. You're making impact at a 90-degree angle every time you hit somebody because you're hitting a straight piece of human at another angle coming into it. It makes a 90-degree angle. So maybe these guys should spend more time in school. And how are you supposed to tackle anybody and not land on top of them? What the NFL needs to do is get somebody in their rule office that has half of a brain, not even a full brain, a half of a brain, because they got someone in there now that has no brain, and make the rule read excessive force after ground impact will result in a penalty. Like when somebody tackles the quarterback and they give them the extra drive into the ground, that's when you should throw the flag. But this is tackle football. You're supposed to hit somebody, and the only way to hit somebody to tackle them is with force. So I don't know. How do you do it? Maybe that what you need to do is once a defensive player gets within a two-yard halo of a quarterback, just put your hands up and count to three Mississippi and touch them, and the play will be dead. Maybe that'll work. I don't know.
Hey, but it's unbelievable. It's just
that's why you can't watch this garbage. You can't watch it because on any given play, one of those 97-year-old referees can throw the handkerchief out and call something at their discretion on any given play. Any given play, they can call the holding penalty that took a touchdown away from Tampa Bay last night. On any given play, they can call excessive roughness on a tackle. On any play. It's ridiculous. It's unwatchable trash.
All right, with that being said, Oakland punched their playoff ticket last night. They'll be playing the Yankees. The last thing to worry about now is who gets home field advantage.
Well, that's the only thing. I don't know where you've been, but that's the only thing you've been worrying about for the last month.
Yeah, but Tampa Bay was officially knocked out last night.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right. It's official, but it's been official since probably August 27th. It was just to see who has home field for the ridiculous play-in game. And right now, Oakland's holding sway with the Yankees, so that's still at a game and a half, and anything could happen between now and Sunday.
It's going to be interesting because you're going to have two teams that are going to be around 100 wins, and they're fighting for it's just a very, very strange year. They're fighting for a one game play-in. It's I don't know what it says about baseball, but when you have four teams, the top two teams in each division, each approaching 100 wins or having 100 wins. I don't know what it says.
This is professional sports. It's not everybody gets a trophy.
Yeah, but still, I mean, it's pretty.
But still, what? I mean, you there's a reason why you play 162 games to determine who has the best records in the sport. I mean, we could put the Yankees in the Central Division. I mean, New York is kind of like the middle of the country, right?
I'm not talking.
Then they could win. See, I mean, it's aligned the way it's aligned, and you play the cards the way you play the cards. Boston won 106 games this year. The Yankees won 96. Oh, well.
I still think that they should go back to just having the top two teams, the top team in each division play.
They can't because there's three divisions.
Well, go back to the two divisions, for gosh sakes. I mean,
how about we go back to the American League and the National League, and Boston plays the Cubs for the World Series starting next week?
That sounds
fine. How about
we
do that?
That sounds fine to me.
I have no problem with that. And then you play the entire season for a reason.
That's exactly right. I have no problem with that at all. You wouldn't be resting players. You wouldn't be doing all this jackass stuff with pitchers because you need every win. So.
Oh, you'd be doing more with it because right now the Red Sox would have an insurmountable 7-game lead over the Astros and the season would be over. The Red Sox have it locked up because they've played 97 games and they only have five left. 157 games and they only have five left. So the season would be over. But when you know the rules before the season starts, you play according to the rules, and that's the way you play it. So if you have one team from each league or two teams from each league meeting, you have whatever it is. But this play-in game is a ridiculous thing. It's just totally ridiculous.
And it's just to generate more revenue for the league.
That's all it is. Yeah, it's to have another game on TV and show another hour's worth of commercials and show different stories about different players or how they grew up in a Dominican Republic with no shoes and everything else, which isn't true anymore. But it's just a bunch of baloney. And it's pretty ironic how when you have a team with 106 games, 99, 95, and 96, that everybody's talking about the team with 88 wins that might win the World Series.
Yeah. Well, anyways, so let's go on further. We have about a minute and a half left. Where do you want to go in sports?
There's nothing else.
I know. There really isn't. There really isn't.
No. I mean, you know, like the Red Sox set a franchise record with 106 wins. That's great. If they don't win the World Series, that doesn't mean a thing.
Yeah, it was like Seattle when they set all those records and they didn't win the World Series.
You got to win the World Series. If you don't win the World Series, it's a failure.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
And wouldn't it be a failure if the Yankees, who came one game away from winning against Houston to get in the World Series last year, gets knocked out in a play-in game? What is the GM going to do now?
I don't know.
What's Cashman going to do at that point? He handpicked his manager. He went out and he got the players that he wanted to get on the team. Was he going to fire himself?
I'm not sure. You know, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, what was their win total last year?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, they could always fall back on that. I mean,
but that's a pretty bland response for a team that was one game away from winning the World Series last year.
Yeah.
You can't sugarcoat that. You were closer last year when you weren't supposed to be there than you possibly may be this year when. Everybody in March said the Yankees are going to win the American League and with their eyes closed.
All right. Well, I'm just saying. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm saying, but that's what they'll go back to. That's what they'll go back to. The Yankees last year won 91 games.
Oh, so then I guess
91.
They will play it that this year was an improvement.
91. There were 91 and 71 last year. Yeah.
Then we've improved this year, but we didn't get as far as last year.
I know, but that's what I'm. All I'm saying is that's the avenue that they're going to use. That's the avenue.
Oh, of course they would, because they're the Yankees.
But because it's any general manager that the team didn't perform like they wanted them to. All right.
Especially when you're the guy pulling the strings. You're never going to talk bad about yourself.
Absolutely not. All right, I'll check with you tomorrow morning.
I'll be here. See what happens. See how this Oakland-Yankee thing plays out, who gets that home game.
All right. Take care, buddy.
Have a good day.
Mike Cossey with a check on sports. We've got Pat Pagano coming in with a check on the forecast.